jump into our message today, if you would join me in prayer. God, I thank you that you have a purpose and a plan for each of us here today in this sanctuary, for those joining online and those joining on the podcast. I pray that your heart would be conveyed to each of us, and I pray that you would encourage our hearts on this day. I ask that you would help me to convey your words and your heart, and I just surrender my will and my ways to you on this day. And I pray for open ears, open hearts, and that the voice of the enemy would be silenced once and for all. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. If you're joining us for the first time in this series, I am on week 3 in a series that I have entitled Epic Diet Fail. You know that it has nothing to do with a physical diet and everything to do with the enemy's plans to restrict us from God's victory. And like I said, in week 1 and in week 2, the enemy's plans always end up in an epic fail because God is always victorious, has all the authority and all of the power. And the point of this series was to highlight some of the ways that the enemy tries to come against us, but more importantly, to encourage us in the ways that we can fight and be victorious. So in week 1, we discussed division and the need for us to respond in love, in unity, in wisdom and discernment. And we spoke of the importance of fighting not flesh and blood, but of powers and principalities. In week 2, which was last week, we spoke about intimidation and how the enemy seeks to persecute believers in an effort to silence us, whether it's through our cancel culture or through threats, rejections, ruined reputation, or even physical harm. The enemy is at work to try and keep us quiet. But we shared that we have to choose to be courageous and resolute, regardless of the cost. This week, we are on letter E in our acronym of diet, division, intimidation, and E for exhaustion. And I want to talk about the enemy's plans to exhaust us and make us weary. The definition of exhaust is to drain someone of their physical or mental resources, to tire out, and to use up completely. You see, the life of faith that we are living is oftentimes compared to a race. And we're literally in the race for our lives and of the lives of the people around us. And we ought to be running this race with everything that we have. Not only for us to reach the finish line and hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," but also to snatch as many people as we can from the wide road of destruction and lead them onto the narrow road of eternal life. This analogy is found in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, and it says, "All these many people who have had faith in God are around us like a cloud of witnesses. Let us put everything out of our lives that keeps us from doing what we should. Let us keep running in the race that God has planned for us. Let us keep looking to Yeshua. Our faith comes from him, and he is the one who makes it perfect. He did not give up when he had to suffer shame and die on the tree of sacrifice. He knew of the joy that would be his later. Now he is sitting at the right hand of Adonai. Sinful men spoke words of hate against him, but he was willing to take up such shame from sinners. Think of this so you will not get tired or give up." Another translation of verse 3 says, "Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary or lose heart." See, the encouragement here is to keep running, but the truth is some of us are weary and exhausted. We're not really running in this race of faith. Some of us are not even walking. Some of us are barely crawling. I struggled for many days when I was trying to compile this message because there are so many reasons why we grow weary. In Galatians 6:9, it says, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not grow up, if we do not give up." So we grow weary in just simply doing good, because sometimes the benefits and the results linger. They take some time, and we grow weary. Sometimes we grow weary because we are busy and distracted, and I thought of Mary and Martha. Martha, who is busy with all the responsibilities, and Mary, who actually sat at the feet of Yeshua. And I wondered how many of us are weary because we're just busy all the time. Grocery shopping, laundry, bills to pay, work to go to, kids, schoolwork, the pandemic, now distance learning, and the list goes on and on and on. The storm, tree work, yard work. Life in itself, without any other complications, is busy. And that busyness wears us out. And then I thought, you know, we're weary because sometimes we're fighting the wrong battles. We're constantly at war with people, our coworkers, our government, our husbands, our wives, our children. And we're fighting flesh and blood, spinning our wheels, spending all the energy in the wrong direction. We're putting out all these small little fires instead of dealing with the enemy who holds the match in his hand. 2 Corinthians 10:3, it says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." And I couldn't help but wonder, we're weary because we're not using the weapons that we ought to use. And then I thought about Moses, who grew weary as Joshua led the Israelites in battle against the Amalekites. The victory was obtained because he wasn't alone. He had Aaron and Hur to hold up his hands. And I said, maybe some of us are weary because we're trying to go it alone. We have sin issues, marriage problems, issues with our children, bombarding thoughts from hell, strongholds that linger, continual health issues, and we're dealing with all of those things alone and privately, not turning to help, support, or prayer. And the list went on and on and on. So many things that tire us out. But today I want to focus on the main reason, and that's found in Daniel chapter 7. You see, God gives us insight, and he informs us through prophecy that in the last days, one of Satan's tactics is to wear out the saints of the Most High. And the truth is, just like the enemy is the source of division, and just like he was the source of intimidation, he is the source of our weariness. Because he is the one who is constantly, continually, and relentlessly opposing us and attacking us. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." And so today I want to review who our enemy is and how he wears us down. I'm not going to list every single scripture reference, but I do want to tell you who he is so you know how to fight him. The enemy is powerful, though he is limited. He is a liar with no truth in him, constantly deceiving the children of God. He is a murderer and destroyer. He is witty. He is a schemer, always seeking out ways to kill, to steal, to destroy. He is a tormentor and a tempter. He is lawless, a sinner from the beginning. He is the accuser of the brethren, forceful, seeking no permission. He is an imposter, often coming as an angel of light. He is a betrayer and the author of fear itself. And so whether you realize it or not, whether you can see it or not, whether you even feel it or agree with it or not, this is what you're up against on a daily basis. Someone who's always lying to you. Someone who's always looking to steal from you. Someone who literally kills and destroys. Someone who enjoys tormenting you. Someone always trying to trip you up and tempt you. Someone always trying to get you to sin. Someone who is constantly accusing you and reminding you of your sins and all your faults. Someone who is there to instill fear and doubt and unbelief continually in your hearts. And someone who does this without any permission, forcefully trying to insert himself into your life, even by trying to do so deceivingly. And so just like the methods of persecution were different last week, the way that he does this in your life is different than the way he does it in my life. But his goal is the same. He wants to tire you out, trip you up, wound your faith, and ultimately get you to the point of being so weary and exhausted and wounded that you quit and give up. And so he's active in your life, attacking you and your faith, attacking the good news of Yeshua, attacking your righteousness through guilt and shame and condemnation, sowing seeds of doubt and unbelief, fear and anxiety, attacking your body through hell, through your sickness and disease, and your family members. And I know you guys know the reality of this as you nod your heads in agreement. And I know some of you are struggling today with sickness and disease in your body, some of you with loss of finances, failing marriages. Some of you have seen the enemy snatch the truth from your children. Some of you are dealing with the loss of a loved one. Some of you are struggling under the weight of sin because the enemy was successful in his attempts to tempt you. Some of you are living in constant anxiety because he is relentless in his lies and bombardment of thoughts. Some of us are struggling with depression because he is always there to come against the goodness of Yeshua and Yeshua's faithfulness. And some of us are struggling and doing good, wondering when we're going to reap the results. And so we're weary because the enemy is always working in our lives, in situations and circumstances. And if he's not working, he is there just to sow seeds of doubt in situations and circumstances that are naturally in your lives. And I'll give you an example. Many of you know, in 2018, my brother-in-law was in the hospital, Matthew. And when he was struggling for his life, clear as day, the enemy was there whispering in my ear. And he said, "If Matthew dies, you cannot keep walking in faith. God will have failed you." And for those of you who are here, you do know that Matthew did pass away. And I'm here to tell you that God did not fail me or our family. See, because though Matthew is not here with us physically, I trust and know that he is in the presence of God. And I am here today not only walking in faith, but standing against the lies of hell as a testimony. And that's how he works, that whatever situation that you're going through, he is right there to whisper in your ear against the truth of God, trying to steal your faith from you. And he does this in every area of your life. So maybe you're struggling with your finances and God is there to, and excuse me, the enemy is there to say, "You can't tithe. You can't have your needs and your desires and give to God at the same time." Maybe you're struggling in your marriage and the enemy is there to sow seeds of hopelessness. He's the one who is whispering words of division and divorce in your heart. So yeah, you're a believer and you stay married because that's the right thing to do, but your heart is always struggling because he's always there, whispering, lying, tempting you. Maybe you're living your life serving God, but the enemy is there to remind you that you're alone, to keep you from walking in the joy that the Lord has, because you look around and you see maybe you don't have what other people have. When you're serving God, the enemy is there to accuse you and remind you of all of your sin and all of your failure, bringing guilt and shame and condemnation. When someone else has a victory or a blessing in their life, maybe they get married, they have a baby, they go debt-free, they buy a new house, get a new car, they find release from sin, the enemy is there to remind you you're not there yet. God has left you, abandoned you, forgotten you, forsaken you. You see, big or small, in any situation, whether it's through what the enemy does or what he says about a situation, he's always there to try and discourage you. I'll give you another example. Obviously, you know that this pandemic has gone on for 6 months now, and at the very beginning, when we were on strict lockdown, some of us struggled with what I call pandemic padding, or the quarantine 15. I call it the quarantine 18. We tend to eat out a lot and put on a couple extra pounds that we probably shouldn't have because we were stuck at home. So I decided that I would do a little bit to regain my health back, and I was going to start walking. So I'm at my mom's house now because we're waiting to buy our new house, which takes forever, the closing process. So we've been staying at my mom's house, and I decided to walk from here to the stop sign. It's literally, I wouldn't even call it a half a block. So I leave my mom's house, I walk to the stop sign, and I come back. Within a matter of a week of doing that, I had excruciating foot pain that I haven't had in about 3 years now. I got to the point that I was limping. I couldn't even get out of bed to go to the bathroom in the morning, that the pain was so bad. Some of you guys will say, you know what, that's just a coincidence, Rena. So you started walking and your foot hurt. Are you trying to say that that was the enemy in your life? And to that I would say, yes. And if not, because I'm not one of those, the devil needs to be under every single rock, okay? I have plantar fasciitis. Maybe if I wore my orthotics from the time that I was 8 like I was supposed to, maybe my foot wouldn't hurt. Maybe this has nothing to do with the enemy. Maybe it is just a coincidence that every time I exercise to regain my health and live the way that I'm supposed to, it's just a coincidence that every single time my foot hurts. So it's okay. I don't have to blame the enemy, but I will tell you, even if it wasn't him, guess who was there to whisper in my ear? Why do you bother, Rena? You're never going to get there. You'll never get your health to where it's supposed to be. Why do you even bother trying? And that, my friends, is a lie. And that, my friends, is how the enemy works. You see, because a life of health and wholeness is the plan that God has for me. And a life that's bound up where I'm not happy and not healthy is the life that the enemy has for me. So when I go to seek God's path and something trips me up, whether it's the enemy or not, he is going to be the one to whisper the lies in my ears of why I've been tripped up. So whether he caused my pain or not, he was there to discourage me. I kept walking anyway, though. Got myself a nice cortisone shot. Gonna wear my orthotics. And I am walking away. What's the solution to the tactics of hell and to the way that he makes us exhausted in all the ways that he attacks us? It's found in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. It says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." You see, we hear this scripture a lot, and some of us are familiar with it. But I want to give you a little new nuance to this. We can put the picture up on the PowerPoint. I'll show you what a yoke is. Most of you know, but I'll give you the visual behind it. It's a cross piece that's fastened over the necks of two animals, and it's attached to a plow or a cart so that the animals are able to pull. And I read this quote from, I don't even think I put the author's name on here, so you have to forgive me. It was in my notes. This is not my quote, and I'll post it. His name afterwards. But this quote says, "A yoke is a work instrument." So when Yeshua offers a yoke, he offers what we might think tired workers need the least. They actually maybe need a mattress or a vacation, not a yoke. But Yeshua realizes that the most restful gift he can give the tired is a new way to carry life, a fresh way to bear responsibilities. Realism sees that life is a succession of burdens. You can't get away from them. Instead of offering escape, Yeshua offers equipment. Yeshua means that obedience to his sermon, His yoke will develop in us a balance and a way of carrying life that gives more rest than the way that we have been living. You see, it's interesting because when you're tired and when you're weary and when you're exhausted and when you're wounded, sometimes you're just looking for nothingness. I don't want to work. I don't want responsibilities. I want nothing to do, nowhere to go. I want a vacation. I want rest. I want time away from the kids, time to sleep, veg out, watch TV, do whatever I want. A true vacation. And there are times when that's needed, right? We're filling in here today because the rabbis are on vacation. There are times that you need rest to get away from responsibility in life. But that type of rest is not the rest that's going to help you when you're spiritually weary. It's not a vacation that you need. It's not a life without responsibilities. It's not no work or nothing to do. The rest that your soul needs is not found in nothingness. It's found when you partner your life with Yeshua. If you can put up the next picture for me. It's always odd because whenever I heard this example of take up a yoke, when you look at a picture like that, for those of you on the podcast, it's a picture of the two animals yoked up and working. This looks oppressive and burdensome. It's not the imagery of rest. But you see, that's the point that Yeshua was making. He's trying to say that without him, life will feel burdensome and oppressive. With you carrying the weight of doing everything and facing everything on your own. And again, the solution is not limiting life and trying to get away from everything. It's allowing him to take the burden on. As I said in the first message, if Evan, you can come up here. You can't take the youth teacher out of me, so I like visual demonstrations. If you're listening on the podcast, so old. If you're listening on the podcast, I have two empty buckets in front of me, and I have weights to the side of them. And each weight represents some of the burdens that we carry. So I'm putting one weight into the bucket, and this is our work, bills, responsibilities, grocery shopping, kids, marriage, tree work, lawn work, you name it. And we have all of our societal issues with another weight right here. So our pandemic, everything that is so terrible right now in our society. I watch 10 minutes of the news and I can't tell you how burdened my heart is. It is a weight that is insurmountable where we're at right now as a nation. Then in the other bucket, another weight just to represent the attacks of hell against us in the midst of all of it. So you have sickness and disease and pain and division and depression and anxiety and fear and pain. And then you have doubt and unbelief, uncertainty, condemnation, guilt and shame. Now that my buckets are full of all the weights, I try and lift up the buckets with my curtain rod in between to try and represent a yoke. This is how we live our life. Now, it may look easy, but I'll tell you it's very heavy. And there's only so long that I can go. My arms are already shaking. And we think that rest means that we could just put things down for a little bit and put the TV on and veg out or take a vacation. But we can't get away from it because eventually when that vacation is over and that TV show is over, you're continuing on in life like this. And some of us realize that this is burdensome and heavy and hard. So we say, I can't do it all. And we say, you know what, Yeshua, I can't handle it. Could you please carry this for me? And we give him a burden or one situation that's overwhelming. And yet we still have the rest to carry. And this is not how we're meant to live our lives. When he says, take my yoke, he means give him everything to carry, not just one situation, not just one thing that's burdening you. You give him everything. So if you're on the podcast, I'm taking all of my weights, I'm moving them all into the bucket to my right. And instead of just turning to Yeshua here and there for one thing or two things, I'm going to partner my life with him. I'm going to wake up in the morning in every situation, everything, work, society, pandemic, family, I'm going to allow Yeshua to carry all of that. And when he carries the weight, I proceed in my life. Everything is still going on. It doesn't disappear. It doesn't go away. But he carries the weight. This is a life yoked up with Yeshua, where he carries the burden and the weight, and I find rest to continue on because he's by my side. So the question is, that was a great illustration, but how do we actually live that out? I want to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30 for the answer. The context here is David fighting the Amalekites. I'm starting in verse 1. It says, David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked it and burned it, and had taken captive the women and everything else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. Verse 3, when David and his men had reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David and his two wives had been captured. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because his sons and his daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. I'm picking up in verse 9. David and the 600 men with him came to Besor Valley, but some had stayed behind. 200 of them were too exhausted to cross the valley. But David and the other 400 continued the pursuit. So 400 go to fight. 200 stay behind, and this is the outcome, picking up in verse 18. David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing, young or old, boy or girl, plunder, or anything else that they had taken. David brought everything back. He took all the flocks and all the herds. His men drove them ahead of the livestock, saying, "This is David's plunder." And in verse 23, we see the outcome of those who were too weary to fight, the 200 men that stayed behind. It says that the fighting men came back to the men who had been too weary and were at first angry about it. And listen to what David says. It says, "The share of the men who stayed behind with the supplies is to be the same as that of him who went down to battle. All will share alike." David made this a statute and ordinance for Israel from that day to this day. There are four things that we can learn from this passage. Number one, we need to accept and expect that we will be in a battle. You see, when I was talking about Moses and Aaron and Hur, it was the Amalekites that they were fighting in the book of Exodus. And it's interesting here in 1 Samuel, who is David fighting again? The Amalekites. And what do we learn from this? Just like you have to expect persecution as part of your walk as a believer, you need to expect that you will be in battle with the enemy. You cannot underestimate the reality of the enemy in your life. Knowing this will help equip you so that you can walk in victory. We cannot escape battle. Number two, we have to find strength in the Lord. Verse 6 in this passage, it says, "In great distress, David found strength in the Lord." It's from Isaiah chapter 40, 31. "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint." See, if your eyes are always on your enemy and your circumstances, your defeat, your situation, your heart will be distressed. Your weeping will make you weary, just like David looked at the situation and everything that he had lost. And their weeping, they were so weary they couldn't even cry anymore. But when he put his focus and his hope on the Lord, he was able to get his strength back, to get up, to go back into the battle, and to see victory. So when you put your hope and your trust on the Lord your God who fights for you, your strength will be renewed. In everything that comes your way, if you keep your hope fixed on the Lord, the truth of his word, the promises that he has made, his faithfulness, his goodness, his grace and mercy, his strength to battle for you, his ability to show himself strong in your weakness, his limitless power and authority over the enemy, his endless ways of providing for you and protecting your health, his faithfulness towards you, his promise for good plans for your life, his unending and everlasting love for you, and the truth that he has given you authority over the enemy who has already been defeated, who is not as powerful as Adonai. When your hope is in him, when your hope is in his truth, in his word, your strength will be renewed. You have to keep your eyes fixed on who God is and what his word says, and the victory that is already accomplished. When you look around this world, when you turn your TV on, and it is so hopeless, keep your eyes fixed on Yeshua. The enemy is defeated. Don't let him wear you out with everything that's going on around us. The third thing, don't fight alone. David didn't go alone. He had 400 men with him. His victory was not because he flew solo. The same thing with Moses and Aaron and Hur. When they were fighting the Amalekites and Joshua was leading the way, victory came not because Moses fought alone. Victory came because Aaron and Hur held up his hands. And the same is true for us. This race of faith is not won alone. Your community of faith by your side, your leadership supporting you, your brothers and sisters in the Lord are crucial to sustaining your strength. I'll give you another illustration. When you're in high school, they make you run a mile. It's a stupid requirement. I hated gym class and physical education. So anytime that we had to run the mile, I always failed. I was never a good runner. I could barely walk to the stop sign and back, let alone run a mile. So I always exceeded the time limit. I think I got it in like 21 minutes. You had to get it under a certain amount. So anytime I ran alone, I never made it. And finally, it was like, I'm never going to pass. I have to get this mile done under a certain time. So I asked one of my friends who, she wasn't a runner, but at least she could run. I said, would you run with me? And before I knew it, where I usually could run like a quarter of a lap and start gasping for air, she's running alongside me. And I went almost 3 laps without stopping. Miracle. I'm telling you right now, it's a miracle. But why was I able to do that? Simply because I had somebody running next to me. What I couldn't do alone, I could do because I had somebody next to me. We need to stop thinking of our situation as a burden. You need to stop feeling ashamed to coming up for prayer for the same issue time and time again. Stop hiding your hurt or your pain. Stop trying to fly solo and be embarrassed by where you are at. God gave you this community of faith for a reason. To lift each other up and to be a source of encouragement and strength to those who are struggling. Do not fight alone. Do not hide your struggles or your weariness, or your situations. Do not let the enemy tell you that you need to be embarrassed or ashamed of where you're at. And finally, the last point, know when to rest and know when others need help. There were 200 men who stayed behind that day in battle. They were too weary to go with David and the 400. They took time to rest, But they did not quit. And they were not left out of the spoils of war because of their need to rest. David made sure of it. And there are times that you may feel too weary, too wounded, too hopeless, too burdened, too injured to continue on. And it's in those times that you have to find your rest in God. Rest is not the same thing as quitting. It's seeking a time for God to mend what the enemy has broken, a time for God to heal what has been wounded, and a time for God to speak into your life the truth and the hope and the plans that he has for you, to allow your strength to be renewed. Find time to rest if you need it. And when you're strong and when you're built up, look around you and see who may need help. Look around and ask, who can I be an Aaron and her to? Whose hands need to be lifted up? Who can I encourage to say, you're almost there. I'm going to believe with you. Hold on a little bit longer. The promises of God will come for your life. Don't give up. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to cheer you on. I will help strengthen you. Through it all, never quit. Never, ever, ever give up. I'm going to close this message with a video. I'm going to give a couple of disclaimers. The video is owned by somebody else. Lord Jean will post the owner of the video. It's obviously not a creation. If you're listening on the iPod, we are showing a video in the sanctuary, so you're going to hear about 10 minutes of silence. If you go onto YouTube, you can search this video. I simply typed in Weary Runner Cross Finish Line, and you can pull it up. The author and creator of the video is The Sound Project. If you're on the iPod, please come back. I am going to end the message afterwards. For those of you here in the sanctuary, it is not the best quality video. The sound may be a little bit low as well. It's long, it's 10 minutes, but I ended my message early, so you guys are still within your time frame. Here's my encouragement to you. I want you to watch this video, and I pray that you would let God speak to your heart. It's not narrated. I want God to speak to your heart and to remind you to never quit, to keep your eyes fixed and peeled on him and on eternity, and to never give up. With that, I'm going to close the lights. We'll cue the video. And for those listening, I will come back afterwards. Technology is not our friend today, unfortunately. I don't think we're going to be able to play that today. I'll describe a little bit to you. When you go home today, go onto YouTube, type in these words, weary runner helped across finish line. The creator is The Sound Project. You'll see it's about a 10-minute video. It's worth your time to go home and watch it. It probably gives you about 10 different scenarios where there are people running a race, desperate for the finish line, and their body gives out because they're so exhausted. And whether it's somebody who gets carried by somebody else, whether it's a brother that comes along them and literally pushes them to the finish line, there was a video of this one girl, maybe about 10 feet away from the finish line, she just collapses. And somebody there in the crowd, it looked like her coach, I don't know, came alongside her, and there's no sound, there's no audio, whispering in her ear. And she crawled the rest of the way there. There was a man who was a U.S. veteran running the race. He couldn't make it, and he literally inches his way. Another person who had to get to the finish line crawled her way with bloody knees but never gave up. It was example after example after example of people who were so weary in the race and were helped out, but nobody ever took them out of the race. Another woman who was lifted up by two men, and they carried her all the way, and right before the finish line, they put her feet down to make sure that she crossed the finish line. It wasn't disqualified. Another little boy who had a disability who was only walking with his walker right before the finish line, he puts the walker down and he goes to walk by himself and he face plants twice, flat on his face, picks himself back up and runs across the finish line. And I couldn't help but be encouraged by the video, because however you relate to it, whether you're the one who's there crawling and just barely making it, whether you're bloodied and injured and still pressing on, whether you need to be lifted and carried up by somebody else, the ultimate message was, you don't give up. You will get to that finish line. No matter how weary you are, no matter how injured you are, no matter how painful it is, there are people around you there to help you make it to the end. And the rejoicing that takes place at that finish line. Don't give up, no matter how weary. On today's message with lyrics from a song by Mercy Me. It says, are you disappointed? Are you desperate for help? You know what it's like to be tired and only a shell of yourself. Will you start to believe that you don't have what it takes because it's all you can do just to move, much less to finish the race? But don't forget what lies ahead. This road will be hard, but we will win in the end, simply because of Yeshua in us. It's not if, but when. So take joy in the journey, even when it feels long. Find strength in each step, knowing that heaven is cheering you on. The song goes on to say, I know that the cross has brought heaven to us, but make more mistake, there's still more to come. When our flesh and our home are no longer in between where we are right now and where we are meant to be, when all that has been lost has been made whole again, when these tears and these pain no longer exist, no more walking, we're running as fast as we can, consider this our second win, because we are almost home. Brother, it won't be long. Soon all of your burdens will be gone. With all of your strength, sister, run wild and run free. Hold up your head and keep pressing on. We are almost home. When the enemy comes to exhaust you and to make you weary, find your strength and your hope in Adonai. Don't fight alone. And if you need rest, find your rest in him, but don't ever give up. Stand to your feet and I'll bless you. Adonai, we thank you for today. Thank you for your words of encouragement, Lord. And I pray for those of us who are weary and burdened and injured and hurt and tired. I pray, God, that you would bring healing, you would bring rest, that you would bring hope and strength. I pray that we would truly learn what it is like to take upon your yoke in our life. I pray, Lord, that we would find rest in you. I pray that we would find strength in each other, to lift each other up. And I pray, Lord, that we would never, ever fall prey to the tactic of the enemy, to be weary to the point of giving up or walking away, to be burdened and hurt to the point of not being able to continue on, that we would rise up and say, whether I have to crawl, whether I have to be carried, whether I fall flat on my face, whether I'm bloody, bruised, or wounded, I will never, ever give up this race of faith. And that we would be able to say, I have fought the good fight. I have pressed on and gained the crown of righteousness that you have stored up for us. I thank you for that truth and for your strength. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. Shabbat shalom.